There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial and, of course, his extra goodie bag, as we always expect every week. This is podcast number 307, October 8th. 2008. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads get you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From coffee tables to coffee beans, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. And of course, I always thank Yahoo Ads. On today's program, Bernie leaves North America in the cold. BMW stick with Heidfeld and Kubica. Di Montezemolo rubbishes street circuits as circuses. Fuji Speedway and Formula One, and of course Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi himself and his tree. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm great, Clark Rogers. How about yourself?
I'm outstanding. We've got a race coming up. The season's almost over, and I can't believe it. It's like it goes by like those winds from Zephyrland.
You stole my line.
Kind of like races in North America.
There are no races in North America, and I know a lot of us are irate about that, but you know, that's some kind of ruse by Bernie and his clan.
Because
they've done this to Canada before. They've cut him out of the schedule. They go over there. They have to fill up his pockets full of coin.
Make
and all
promises
of a sudden it's
about
back on the
track.
Schedule.
Yeah, they've still got, this is the preliminary schedule, if I'm not mistaken, so there's still the opportunity for them to get back into Bernie's good graces, but I can't believe that the teams aren't putting up more of a fuss about being completely aced out of North America, where all but one of these car manufacturers' largest markets are. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you're trying to use it as a marketing tool, how do you justify not showing it to, you know, two-thirds of your market?
I understand, but trust me. First of all, the teams know Bernie very, very well, and that's why we haven't heard any comment from them, because this is a preliminary schedule. I think there will be 20 races next year, because Bernie wants the 2-0 number to maximize his dollar intake and races for the world. So Nasser is just running to the studio, huffing and puffing. Didn't even get the chance to roll out the red carpet this time. So Nas, welcome. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Hello to everybody. And today I have the finest in tea from Connecticut, Bigelow Plantation Mint. So life is good.
So we've upgraded from Lipton to Bigelow.
Yeah, at least for this auspicious occasion.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to their check first thing in the morning.
Yes, sir. And, you know, this Canadian thing not happening, the race, very disappointing. And nothing surprises me this day and age, but this still was quite a shock. There was no news that this might happen. And, you know, I just don't like the way they are doing some of the things. But I have a feeling that in Angola there is a lot of oil, and most of the oil comes from the region called Cabinda. So maybe there will be no race in Canada, but we may have a Grand Prix in Cabinda.
There you go, Nasser. And let's not forget, 2011, we expect India to come online with a Grand Prix. We've got the Korean Grand Prix coming up in a year or so. Russia.
Samsung Blue.
Yeah, Russia is now building the track. It's being built in Moscow.
That should happen. It's a big market.
We only have a 20-race window. That's what we're working with, because after that, it's a little too much for the teams for their summer break, and they're already crying about the summer break. So he dropped the Canadian Grand Prix. I mean, you have to have cut somewhere. Where do you cut? Canada, France, Great Britain?
Oh, it's very simple. If Saipan is giving $30 million and Spa is giving $15 million, you cut off Spa.
Exactly. And this is going to be, and with this economical downturn that's really hit the world by storm, the countries that can bring the cash to Bernie's table are going to win these Grand Prix. The United States or Canada is going to have very limited government involvement. It's always going to be the private sector, and right now the private sector has no cash.
Well, I don't think the government sector has a lot of cash, but that's another story. But I still think in the long run, some of these races, you know, I'm all for expansion of motor racing and Formula One, spreading the F1 love. But, you know, if you have races, I mean, just look what happened in Turkey. They built this beautiful, magnificent facility, and within 2 years, the operation was turned over to Bernie's team, right? A company, because financial problems. Malaysia is not a money-making situation. So I think what will happen down the road, where they are taking a lot of these races, where there is not a strong culture of motor racing, sooner or later, somebody, change of government or whatever, they're going to say, hey, you know, we're not going to write a check for $40 million because they have a built-in 10% increase. So I don't think this is going to work out in the long run.
I believe you. And I just hope we hold on to some of the most important tracks like Monza and Spa. But it's right now we're moving east, and that's how Bernie likes it. And we just have to eat the pie and enjoy it.
And, you know, you have to read between the lines. It was just announced that now the GP2 people, which is Bernie and Flavio and Bruno Michel, they have now launched officially the GP3.
Correct.
Which will compete with basically Formula 2 from FIA. And, you know, who knows if there's a major rattle and shake between Bernie and Max, we may have a GP1.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, well, the other thing that comes down to that, though, is that ultimately, if Formula One really wants to, they can walk away from the FIA and set up their own.
No, that's what GP1 would be.
GP1 would be, yeah, separate.
Yeah.
But I hope that doesn't happen.
No, of course not. And, you know, it's amazing. We had this such a, you know, self-destructing open-wheel war in America. Same thing is now happening in the American motorcycle racing scene. I mean, do these people not pay attention to what a division will do?
We always tend to repeat our mistakes, don't we, Nasser?
Well, that's mankind.
Yes, exactly. Let's move on real quickly and hope that Canada returns to the schedule.
And you know the thing about no Canadian Grand Prix? If anybody living in Cali, and there are a few who follow Formula One in this wonderful golden state, now you're looking at a minimum 12-hour flight to watch a Formula One race.
Right? Minimum.
Yeah, I mean, where are you going to go?
And that's not including your layover in Atlanta or over at JFK, which is stinko.
Yeah, and if you go to, even Tokyo, it's a 12, 13-hour flight, I believe.
Yeah, well, basically, we're kind of centered to either direction.
Yeah.
Or actually in all three directions, because if you go south to Brazil, you're still looking at 12 hours because it's tough to get. There are no directs. You have to go through either Florida or Atlanta. And that's, you know, typically it's a 3 to 6 hour layover before the flight.
So Californians really are getting
the shit, Isaac Hayes City.
Hey, whatever happened in the Mexican Grand Prix?
They are still looking into it and working on it, the Mexican authorities, that is. And I believe it will happen, especially with this Esteban Gutierrez kid coming on the scene. Yeah. If he really makes a big impact, I think they'll have a Formula One race in Mexico.
Absolutely. Look what Fernando did to España.
Yeah, exactly. So California basically is as nice as it is. It's the farthest you can get away from the world of Formula One.
Huh. I guess that's why NASCAR is so big here.
Yeah, Central Valley.
I love that eerie silence.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly, BMW signs. Heidfeld and Kubica, they decide to just forget this complaining and this fighting, and I call it Alonzo-ing. And
I think it just proves that Alonso's contract kicked in for next year with the
fourth place. Well, they haven't won fourth place yet, but not only that, but I think Alonso wants to stay in a nice, comfortable, warm spot with Flavio.
Well, the other thing, too, is Flavio's in his last year. Next year, there's going to be the upheaval with the addition of Kurz and the aerodynamic rule changes and slicks coming on. So I think Fernando's kind of got the idea that it doesn't really make a good choice to jump ship. Basically, would it be better to jump ship the year after next when you see who's strong with the new rules? But again, it makes sense for Mario Tyson to basically lock those guys in. They can focus on the rest of the season, pushing to possibly get second place in the Constructors, which is not completely out of reach, but would be a bit of a stretch. But it makes sense, and it's probably monetarily, too, because you can get them both right now at the going rate.
Not only that, but the important thing is stability, stability, stability within the team. You don't have that ridiculous pressure, new drivers, especially maybe a Latino driver. That could get out of control. You've heard that before from Nasser himself. And Dr. Mario likes stability, and they just want to focus on they already said they're still developing this year's car until the very end, and obviously they've got the B team developing next year's car. Nash, your comments on Mario, stability, and Quick Nick.
I have a question first. Why pass the rusty peseta on me?
That's not
that
a rusty
comment about the Latin driver.
That could have been anybody.
It's not fair. My comment is they've done the right thing, and with these two people. You know, no matter what you talk, BMW or Ferrari, conversation always turns to Alonso.
It does.
I mean, with this signing of Heidfeld and Kubica, another door is closed for muy mucho hombre de España.
Listen, I know one thing, though. When Fernando was watching that little screen that they give him, and maybe when he went home and replayed the race and he saw Ferrari in the pits, you know, he probably goes, you know, Renault looks really, really good. Their lollipop man is machismo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It will be great will be if we get to Japan and Ferrari makes the same mistake with a lollipop guy.
Yeah, now they have gone back to the tutti frutti lollipop.
Well, the worst part is we know what Ferrari is doing at this very moment. They're rehearsing. They're rehearsing. The lollipop man right now is drenched in perspiration. And I think they're going to overdo it and something's going to happen. I feel sorry for Felipe. Raikkonen, he's some kind of strange, you know, mist in the dark. I'm not sure where he is.
Off in the ether.
Yeah, but going back to the BMW question, I think this is the right move. With all the love and hubby-dubby feeling there, remember there were feelings that there was some fisticuff between Kubica and
true, which Mario denied.
Heidfeld, right. And so, you know, it's never a love fest in any team, even
at
the
especially,
best of times.
Especially at this level.
Yeah, and so
everybody's very competitive. And I think when you look at the season as a whole in 2008, Nick Heidfeld has done a good job.
Well, he has been very consistent, you know, in finishing races, which is very important. And as far as your, you know, Dios Mios, Alonso, I think he should stay at Renault, but he must not make the same mistake he did when he went from Renault to McLaren. He must dictate who the teammate should be. I think Lucas de Grassi, as good as he is, as good of a job he's done, I don't think he's going to... Lucas de Grassi has to be half a second faster than Nelson Piquet Jr., who is no slouch, to be able to rattle Mr. Alonso. And I don't think Lucas de Grassi is that faster than Nelson Piquet Jr. So he should have him or Nelsinho. One guy he should not have, and you may want to... You speak Spanish, so you can call him and say, Buenos dias.
Gutierrez?
You know, Alonso, Senor Nasir Spicos. And you can tell him, do not have Romain Grosjean as a teammate. I don't think Grosjean will be able to trouble him all season long, but all it takes to rattle somebody's cage, who has proven that this is his weak point, is out-qualify him 3-4 times, out-race him a few times, and boom, oh, the team is French, and he's French, and, you know,
please,
back to square.
Please,
no.
David Coulthard has
back
already come out.
But you wouldn't have that problem at Renault. It wouldn't happen at Renault.
They won't allow.
They won't allow it because they're professionals, Nasser.
Yeah. Oh.
No, but don't get me wrong. Ron Dennis has put out the gauntlet a number of times at McLaren. When Mika Hakkinen and David Coulthard were driving at McLaren, David Coulthard has talked about it, and a lot of this is going to be coming out because he's retiring. The book will come out. He'll be on the BBC, Mr. Chatterbox. And he's already said that that he would go into a meeting and he was completely ignored. It was them against David, and them was Mika, the world champion dude.
Well, the last word is the key word, world champion. And that's what happens in any situation. If two drivers get together in a team and one guy is always faster, then, you know, guess who they're going to listen to. That's what happened to, just listen, read this interview with Elio De Angelis. He's deceased now, but you can see it on the web. Mm-hmm. He was with Lotus for 4 or 5 years. Mansell leaves, and he's happy he's going to be number one. And in walks in Ayrton Senna.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, and his complaint was as soon as Ayrton Senna joined the team, Peter Waugh started dancing around Ayrton Senna with all the good engineers, and the results are there.
It never changes, does it?
No, it does not.
I love it, though. It's Formula One.
Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly go to our friend over at Ferrari, Di Montezemolo, who's really not happy with what he calls these circuses, these street race circuses. He detests Valencia. He really hated our favorite Singapore, which was as popular as a race could possibly be.
And does he? And the question becomes, does he hate him because they're street circuits, or does he hate him because his team has just completely fallen on its face at the road courses this year?
Well, they did okay in Valencia.
Well, they were leading the race and they lost a car.
Yeah, you know? So I don't know. Di Montezemolo is getting older, and the frustration is certainly showing with the lack of pace from Kimi and the bad luck that has struck the team and Felipe Massa, where he should be really leading the championship if he didn't have those failures. Nasser?
Well, going back to him saying it's a circus, you know what Bernie's response was?
No, it was a beautiful response, and now I'm proud of Bernie.
Yeah, he said, I would like to thank Ferrari for providing the clowns.
And which it was pretty clownish, especially, yeah. Once again, that picture of the four clowns carrying the
snake.
Yeah, the snake back.
Yeah. Back to the paddock.
Mutual of Omaha, Wildlife Adventures.
Thank you. So,
Wild Kingdom.
Yeah, Wild Kingdom.
I expect Ferrari to... I'm not going to predict that they're going to turn it around in Japan, but they have to. I mean, the Tifosi will be breathing down Montezemolo's neck if this doesn't turn around.
No, well, they have a very good package, and I, even with Massa 7 points down, I just have a feeling, and just a personal opinion, that if all the three races are in the dry, I think he has a better chance of becoming world champion than Hamilton if all races are in the dry.
I agree.
But I don't think that will happen, and if there's a rain race, we know who's slippery when wet.
Well, give Felipe a little credit. He raced much better in the wet in Italy than he did in Britain. He was just pathetic.
But probably he had a problem in Britain. That's not an issue. And he can tell, Peter Windsor, all he wanted. He's very good. You know what? Maybe he's excellent and super excellent in the rain. But there are a couple of guys. Your Muy Macho Hombre is one of them.
That are super excellent.
Who are a wee bit better than him. And that's... And it's not my opinion. Just watch a race in the rain and you see it for yourself.
I agree. Now, there's also a possibility of snow at Fuji, guys. And I heard that Piquet is pretty good in the snow.
Then okay. Subaru needs to enter Grand Prix right now.
Yeah. Here's the question for you, Nestor. Has there ever been a Grand Prix race raced in a snowstorm?
No. How will you race in a snowstorm?
It's like rain.
No, they've got to red flag that.
No.
Not Bernie. Not if it's going to cost you.
You're talking about a Formula One race, right?
Yeah.
No.
Look at what we did last year in Fuji. We didn't have to race under a safety car.
I'm surprised. You know, in 76, they had a similar type of situation. I am very surprised they ran the race. I mean, I think
Steve is keeping an open mind.
And as always.
And he's suggesting Bridgestone studded tires.
Well, you know, we almost had a snow frolic race in Avon GP at Laguna Seca.
That's marvelous.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let's go to Fuji, the speedway they call it.
The Fuji apples?
Exactly. Fuji apples, which I happen to love. And don't forget, apple a day keeps the F1 Weekly bright and early.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. first, we go to predictions and your thoughts on Fuji. And, you know, let's get back to Suzuka as soon as possible, maybe.
Yeah, and they're talking about nighttime in Suzuka.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That would be interesting. I wonder what Luca would say about that. My prediction for Fuji? Rain.
Wow.
My name is Nasser.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Well, the problem is they schedule it during the rainy season around that mountain. And even the fog is so thick.
Yeah, that could become an issue. Well, didn't...
Well, the big issue is if the medical helicopter can't fly, there is no race.
Yeah, exactly. I vaguely recall that there was a question mark about that last year, about it getting really close to being to the minimums.
You know, the medical helicopter, I'll say this because, you know, nothing bad happened. Remember in Japan many years ago when Nigel Mansell had a huge crash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, obviously this place is not too far from, well, then it was, I think, has to be Suzuka. But anyway, if there's an emergency, they bring you to Tokyo, right? And Tokyo is like New York City, a lot of tall buildings. And I was reading his column in Autosport at that time. He said, you know, he was put into the helicopter and airlifted. And he said, after, like, when we got into Tokyo area, he goes, then for the next 20 minutes, we played the game. Pilot and the doctor played the game, spot the hospital now. They had some difficulty.
Yeah, I could imagine, because those buildings really look very similar.
Yeah, and he was not a happy camper.
Okay, so any predictions for Fuji, gentlemen? Who's going to win?
Who's going to win? In the rain, it will be, I would say, Lewis Hamilton. And if it's dry, I'm fairly positive it'll be a Ferrari win.
Huh. I predict if it's dry, we have a good possibility of Fernando on pole, but maybe not the win.
Oh.
Also, if it rains, Sebastian Vettel can compete with Mr. McLaren, Mr. Hamilton. And let's see if McLaren can not make any mistakes in the pits. Safety car, safety car, safety car.
Yeah,
I'm amazed
I think
that he didn't have Fernando winning it either way.
No, I know. He'll win.
I'm consistent.
No. If it's wet and dry, then Fernando's going to win by two laps.
Excellent, Nasser. Outstanding. The zeros are flowing right to your account.
Yeah.
Save me.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Motorsports Mundial after this brief message.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free, high-speed internet access, indoor pool, and fitness center. Or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist. Or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Nasser, welcome back to the studio. And how is the tea tonight?
Thank you very much, sir. The second cup of tea in the name of equal time. I have gone back to Lipton.
Excellent choice, Nasser, because Lipton is the tea here at the F1Weekly.com headquarters.
Thank you. And with that, we say greetings and racing regards to all the listeners from Boscabuya in Puerto Rico to Koala in the land of kangaroo. And how was your weekend? Did you have a fair dinkum weekend, Mr.?
I had a nice weekend, Nasser, doing a few chores around the homestead, getting ready for winter. And we did get a little bit of rain here in Northern California, the first time since the second week of the month of May.
Wow. How is the World Series going?
It's not started yet.
Oh, gee, I'm really up to date on baseball.
Keep up the good work, Nas, but don't worry. We'll have a World Series update for you in the final Motorsports Mondial of the season.
But
hockey starts this week, so.
Okay, you'll be busy with that?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Okay, before I get into Motorsports Mondial, ladies and gentlemen, let me update you on Personal Mondial. Personal Motorsports Mondial. And as you know, a lot of things and actions are going on behind the scenes at F1 Weekly all the time because we're trying to make things happen. And a few months ago, I was having a conversation with an old friend of mine and a racing associate, a gentleman I've known for over 20 years. And just to give you an idea of his long association in motor racing, he was at the 1961 Italian Grand Prix when Phil Hill became world champion. He was also at the French Grand Prix at Reims, so it's going back a lot of history. And then he started asking me questions about the F1 Weekly podcast. You know, are we the best podcast out there? Who is Clark Rogers and all that kind
of
stuff.
Who is Clark Rogers? Who are these questions? What?
No, this was serious conversation going on. And he made a very interesting comment to me that has really, you know, kind of fired my rockets in a very positive direction. He said, you know, these interviews you're doing, you are recording history of motor racing. And he said to me that 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, if some young or a new racing fan wants to read about Nigel Mansell and what the rivalry with Senna was all about, he can listen to Nigel Mansell on your interview in his own voice. And then he looked at me and he says, would you like to listen to an interview with Juan Manuel Fangio for 20 minutes? And I said, I would love that, even though I know Fangio did not speak English and I don't speak Spanish. And the point was that, you know, what we're doing is a very good service recording history of motor racing. And, you know, in accounting, they have this thing called FIFO system, first in, first out. So what I'm trying to do now is try to get to as many people as possible, and none of us are getting younger every day, so we can do a lot of preserve history of motor racing in their own words. So maybe I should start talking to you first, do your interview.
That's a good start, especially for motorsports history.
Yeah, exactly. So what I've done here is I've put together a list of people that I would like to meet, if possible, and see around the world, and as time and resources permit.
This is a mission. You know,
yeah, a mission. Yeah, absolutely. And then what happened a few days ago, I got an email from Dr. Mark Farrington in England. And he was checking up on me, on my plans, which at that time were, you know, I was hoping to go there. And that really got my, because a lot of people go there, and it's off-season, that got my Cooper Climax motor running. And I says, you know, I should really go there, because to go to a Formula One race, as much as I enjoy, the tickets are expensive, you have no access to media, and so basically, you know all these people are there, but you cannot even see them, let alone talk to them. So I thought, you know, it would be a very good idea to go to an event like this or the Goodwood Festival and then record as much history as possible. So Dr. Mark Farrington and also Mr. Peter Brazier, they have been kind enough to offer me some, you know, local travel advisory, which I really appreciate and thank both of them for that. And, of course, if I make it, which I'm really now hopeful I will, I already put in my request for vacation with my boss, and I was pleasantly...
Which boss?
I have one boss at, that I see once in a week, you know. So what's so funny, Mr. Rogers?
Nothing. I'm just having a little good time right now.
I mean, your consent I always have.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I don't know if Desiree would let me go, but that's another story. That's a complete mondial in itself. But anyway, so what I'm going to do is I have been trying to reach some people through BRDC and on my own. And surprisingly, I got an email from the number one top of the heap person I wanted to talk to, Sir Sterling Moss. He was kind enough to send me an email saying around that time, Autosport Show starts the second week of January. He will not be in England, but he sent me a phone number to contact him in Florida after the 3rd of January. So what I'm hoping is that maybe make a quick dash to Florida and sit down and do a there's a lot of history there, let me tell you that. This gentleman raced against Fangio, Jean Pera, and Tony Brooks, and Hawthorne, and I would love to sit down and talk to him. So we'll see what we can do.
Keep up the good work, Nass. And now, Motorsports Mondial.
Okay, where do we start? Tell me where you want me to start.
I want you to start at the beginning, Nasser.
Beginning of the beginning or beginning of the end?
Let's just jump right into the beginning of the beginning.
Okay, that would be A1GP. And as was rumored, your favorite driver, also, whom you used to call Boudreaux, has taken over the running of the A1GP, Team USA. Andretti Green takes over Team USA. This is my favorite part. Driver lineup is what Annie Lennox would say in a song, "The King and Queen of America." You know this song?
No, it's one of my favorite songs, Nasser, especially when you sing it.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay, well, Marco Andretti, Emperor of the Ming Dynasty of Motorsports, and the Queen of Rage, Miss Danica Patrick herself. They will be the two drivers. And I say, I have a question, you know. I'm a curious cat from Karachi. Whatever happened to racing talent and the man who gave Team USA their one and only win, the Kissimmee kid, Jonathan Summerton? And taking these two people on board, and, you know, the thing is in life and in business, people who write the check make the decision. But now that they have taken these two highly successful and, you know, the legends of American motorsports, you know, people like, deserving people like Carl Skurlong, they won't get a shot at all, which very sad. But that's just a personal opinion.
Well, I'm hoping they keep Charlie Kimball.
Doesn't the A1GP series run into the Indy series? Time-wise? Those two won't run an A1GP if there's an Indy race to be run.
Yeah. That's why they're going to have four drivers in reserve. Danica and Marco Andretti are confirmed, but they can still hang on to Charlie Kimball and Jonathan Summerton in reserve.
Yeah, it should be the reverse, you know.
Obviously, but yet, you know, Danica does have presence.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, and anyway, Sunday was round one at Zandvoort in the Netherlands. As the talented Mr. and Mrs. Ripley were busy with Pride engagement, the gentleman you mentioned, Charlie Kimball, got the drive. And a lot of rain there, a lot of rain in Holland that day. Both sprint and feature events were run in pouring rain. Team Malaysia won the sprint race with Feroz Fawzi driving. Earl Bamber was second for Team New Zealand, and Loa Duval from your Fantasyland, Team France, was third. And the podium was the same. And the positioning changed. Duval won the feature race. Feroz Fawzi was second, and Earl Bamber was third. I got to tell you something. There are defining moments in a young man's career. This kid, Earl Bamber from New Zealand, I've known of his name.
18 years old, I think.
18 years old, and I've been seeing his name. But this race, he was all over the leaders of the race. A very impressive performance.
Did you catch the interview at the end of the race?
With who?
The A1GP people.
With John Watson?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I thought that was pretty interesting. And the 18 years old, very eloquent. All three of these drivers, I think, have good careers ahead of them.
Yeah. Well, Feroz Fawzi has been in GP2 and is pretty much knocking on the door of Formula 1. But, you know, his Formula 1 experience and career would be basically funded by Petronas. I mean, I don't mean to disrespect the guy by saying he's not Formula 1 material, but the results are there. I mean, this is no Grosjean or, you know, Lewis Hamilton.
Exactly.
And Loa Duval has done well, and let's see how far he goes. Okay, next we go. One of the series has been decided now, F3 Euro Series from Le Mans, race one local driver. Here's another kid who has really come alive in the second half. If you can beat Nico, if you can beat Alonso in the rain, you are damn good. Okay, and if you can beat Nico Hulkenberg, you are super damn good. And this Jules Bianchi, he beat him this time in the F3 Euro Series in the rain. Very impressive. And at Le Mans in race one, he again was the winner, Jules Bianchi, that is. And Nico Hulkenberg came out as the big winner, as the champion for 2008. And if I'm not mistaken, at one time early in the season, Hulkenberg, I think, was like 30 points down. And so I'm not surprised that he was able to overcome that deficit. And listen to this. And this is, you know, this is what I call racing talent, okay? This is Nico's third championship in 4 years. In 2004, he won the Formula BMW Germany Championship in his rookie season, a rookie season of single-seater racing. In the 2006-07 A1GP series, he scored 9 wins, including winning on his debut weekend to capture the title for Team Germany, and unfortunately for which he has not yet been paid. And last year he did win the prestigious F3 Masters at Zolder. And the year he won the A1GP, they had some good drivers there, Neil Johnny, Alexander Prema. This kid was on fire. Very good. And also he has been retained again by Williams as a test driver. So he should be well prepared by the time he makes his Formula One debut. Race 2 saw first win in the series for another young talent, and I'm very high on this kid also. This time all the way from Toronto, Canada, Robert Wickens. He is backed by Red Bull and is a former Formula BMW USA champion. Your thoughts on this series or any of the drivers or any rambling you want to
do? It's a good series. I like it, and there's some great talent. And like you said, Nico Hülkenberg is definitely shining, especially finalizing this championship with the F3 Euro Series. It's got the testing seat with Williams. He's going to be in Formula One sooner than you think.
Yeah, and you know, just goes to show, if you have good people around you, he is not in a rush to go to Formula One. I mean, if you have the credentials he has, most drivers will, you know, 2 years ago would be trying to jump in Formula One. So good. So
his name would have come up for the Red Bull, for the Toro Rosso seat, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You start hearing his name about jumping up when he may not necessarily be ready or.
Yeah. No, he's got sensible management, and they know what they're doing.
You know, like this was a posting on the forum today about most wasted talent or something, and that's exactly what happened with Jos Verstappen, Jan Magnussen. I mean, these kids were very, very good. If somebody had and again, I don't know all the circumstances. Maybe that's all they could do that was available to them, but you just sometimes have to harness the power and the talent before going into the big league. Okay, also at Le Mans, DTM, German touring cars, they were in action. Defending champion Matthias Ekstrom from Sweden was the winner for Audi. Paul Di Resta was second for Mercedes. And local Audi driver and ex-Avon GP champion Mr. Alexander Prema was third. Timo Scheider of Audi leads the championship by 2 points over Paul Di Resta, and season finale is later this month at Hockenheimring in Germany.
No update on Quarter Schumacher?
Quarter Schumacher, you know, paper is very expensive these days, so I'm trying to save the trees and
you know. Good work, master. I like that.
In other words, it's not worth the ink, clerk.
Got it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, chemicals are also very expensive. Okay, MotoGP from Phillips Island, Australia. Local boy Casey Stoner wins for the second year running, ahead of Valentino Rossi, and Nicky Hayden was third. And Nicky Hayden is jumping from Honda to Ducati for next season. But there was a tremendous, tremendous battle behind the podium finishers in the closing laps of the race. And thanks to Larry Carter, I won't ask you gentlemen if anybody watched the race.
Thank you, Nasser. We appreciate that. We don't like being vexed on the air.
Okay. Where are we now? Next year, MotoGP was also going to one tire manufacturer, and again, Michelin is being left out in the cold.
Well, Michelin said they were not bid.
Yeah,
they had the opportunity to outbid Bridgestone, but they didn't. They said, "Forget it. You want to treat us this way? We're not going to bid."
Oh my God!
Yep.
Okay, World Superbikes. They were in action at Manicours. Australian Troy Bayliss became world champion for the third time in this series, after finishing third in the opening race of the weekend and winning the second race of the weekend, which was his 50th career victory. And Troy has already announced his retirement at the end of the season. And I say that's the way to go out on top. And all his championships were won on different Ducati bikes. So CFD Racer must have a few pictures of him in his office.
Probably on the refrigerator everywhere.
Yeah. World Touring Car Championship at Monza. Race 1, winner was Ivan Muller over SEAT teammate Gabriel Tarquini. Andy Priol was third in a BMW. And here we go again. Chicane cutting controversy comes to tin tops in the second race. Italian Gabriel Tarquini won the race but survives a 30-second penalty that was given to his SEAT teammate from Sweden, Mr. Rickard Riedel, in race 1. Jordi Genet, brother of Marc Genet, in another SEAT, was second, and ex-F1 driver Nicola Larini third. And other F1 drivers from days gone by, Thiago Monteiro from Portugalistan, was sixth, and Eric Zanardi from Bologna, Italia, was seventh. Eric Zanardi is another gentleman I would love to sit down and have a conversation with, and it's just, it takes a lot of time to, you know, put everything in place. I've been trying to get an interview with host of F1 Weekly for quite a while now. I mean, that has not been lined up.
For like 3 years.
Yeah, who do I complain to? Steve or David Tapia?
David Tapia, the executive producer.
Executive, okay, cool. And he has time on hand these days.
Lots of time.
I should do that. Okay, Formula Master. They were also strolling in Parco Monza. Race 1 was won by Fabio Leimer of Switzerland. But the big cheese of the 2008 series is Chris Van Der Drift of New Zealand, who finished second and collected the championship, and with it an opportunity to test drive Honda Formula One car. The newly crowned champion then turned the tables on Fabio Laimer by winning race two. By the way, I would those who are interested, I would recommend going to the website of Chris Van Der Drift. Very nice story. Read his bio. This is what it takes sometimes to go motor racing. I respect that very much and wish him all the best. People are getting, the winner gets a test drive in Honda Formula One car because they have these cars have Honda engines. And the new GP3 that is coming, it will be pretty much the same, based on the same car. And the GP3 series starts, I believe, in 2011, a year after Formula 2. Did we talk about who's building the Formula 2 car? It's the Williams team, and Audi will build a special turbocharged engine. Did we talk about this?
No, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, with the Formula...
Palmer's involved.
Yeah, there was a bid was put out, and Palmer's group or cronies won the thing. Car will be designed and built by Williams. Basically, it's a Williams chassis, and Audi will supply a turbocharged engine. So let's see what happens. Okay, I know you have an update from one of our listeners, but briefly on the World Rally Championship in Catalonia. Muy macho hombre en España was hombre from Francia. Sebastian Loeb wins for the fourth year running in his Citroën. His teammate Danny Sordo was second. Mikko Hirvonen was third in a Ford Focus and is now 12 points behind Loeb in the championship. You know this guy in football who does that? Go!
Go!
I wonder if he's also doing the racing commentary for the Super League races. That would be amazing.
I hope so.
Yeah. Super League in Zolder Race 1, Adrian Valles of Spain scored the win for Liverpool. Craig Dalby was a sound second for Anderlecht of Holland, and third was Paul Meyer for Borussia Dortmund. Race 2, Italian Davide Rigon was the winner in the rain for Beijing Guoan. And I apologize if I'm screwing up the last name for the Chinese team here. Duncan Tappy was second for Tottenham Hotspur, and third was Jelmer Boerman for PSV Eindhoven, which would be a Dutch team. There is some F1 flavor in the field with Antonio Pisonia and Robert Doornbos also competing for Corinthians and AC Milan, respectively. Petit Le Mans, tremendous drive and tremendous win here at Road Atlanta. And Alan McNish spins on the parade lap, did some damage to his Audi, went down two laps, and with smart team strategy and some spirited driving in the night, he came back to win the race. Very, very impressive performance. I was watching some of this on the TV. And the Peugeot of Minassian, Sarrazin, and Kleen, Christian Kleen, that is, led most of the race, but had to settle for second place.
I'm getting sick of that, Nasser.
Second?
Yeah.
Well, at least
Peugeot needs to get their act together and beat this team.
Well, you have to finish first to first finish. But I'll tell you, man, at Le Mans, I erased that, the last hour of Le Mans, that Peugeot was flying. That looked, it's a beautiful car, and I hope I get a chance to see that car race. It's a beautiful car.
I think Peugeot should call Michael Schumacher.
Well, you know what they should do? They should call Jean Todt. He used to be their team manager. And then you can tell him, hey, Peugeot is a French Fiat. Come jump in. And they also have line also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe they can redraw it and look like
a prancing
line, you know. Call him a prancing panther. But that car is very good looking. Audi is very nice looking.
But second isn't good enough.
I know. The question is, are you going to the American Le Mans Series event here? Which is what, next weekend, right?
It's coming up very soon.
Yeah.
I was thinking of going to Astor. We could actually go as a couple.
No comment. Okay. Okay, now we go to Formula Atlanta. Is the wife out of town?
That's it, Nasser. Exactly. You know, I'm talking about the same car, Nass. Take it easy. Save gas. Car that white Camry is pretty attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, we can look into it. I would like to go. Actually, I think I'm going to be sick on that day when they have the press thing.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, but I have a question. Is that press thing for all the drivers or just the press release that came out was kind of, I was not sure. Or is it just the Mazda M5 or whatever it is drivers?
No, it's going to be the Petit Le Mans series drivers. Absolutely.
I think I'm going to be sick
that day. I think you should be going to that, Nasser. That's interviews. You do look pale.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Okay, now we go to Formula Atlantic. Carl Skurlong had a big crash in practice. He is okay, but had to withdraw from the event. In the race, Finnish rookie Markus Jimela marched through Road Atlanta to win both the race and the championship, basically against all odds. He is the first driver from Finland to win Formula Atlantic Championship. Canadian drivers were second and third, Kevin Lacroix and James Hinchcliffe, respectively. Greg Mansell was fifth, his best result this year. Jonathan Bomarito of Northern California was leading the championship before the race, but dropped out due to mechanical failure and finished second. Florida's Jonathan Summerton finished third in the championship, and now congratulations to Markus Jimela of Finlandia. Also, this is a little late news in the Formula BMW Americas. Alexander Rossi of Northern California has become the first American to win the championship, and one of their races will be a support race to the Brazilian Grand Prix. And we interviewed Rossi, I believe, last year, and we'll try to hook up with him again and see what his plans are. This was his second year in Formula BMW, so he should be moving up to, I don't know, Formula Mazda here, or maybe go to Europe. But I'll try to hook up with him and see if we can get some more information.
Move up to Atlantics, maybe.
Yeah, and our congratulations to Alexander Rossi and his Euro International team. And now to Clark Rogers' favorite series and the favorite track, Talladega. Talladega Tony Smoke wins the big one at Talladega in his Subway-sponsored Camry. And, you know, he sure can use his sponsor's products. Have you seen Tony Stewart lately?
We call him El Gordo.
Yeah. He needs to get on the Jared program. Okay, Big Daddy Sato-san. Sato-san became a father. His wife had another baby. This was a few weeks ago, so our congratulations to Sato-san. Russians are coming! DC plants an oak tree at the groundbreaking ceremony. Later in life, branches from this tree will crash into branches of other trees. It's a DC planted tree. So they're building this track in Russia, and hopefully Formula One will get there. And
or the branches will crash into cars because it's too close to the track.
There you go. So I look forward to the Gran Premio de Sovetskaya soon, which will be fun. And Mr. Nick Heidfeld was testing of doing a, you know, this display of
demonstration
laps in Korea, getting the country ready for the Formula One. No Grand Prix in Canada, but one in Korea. Wonderful. Williams in the red. For the second year running, Williams Grand Prix Engineering reported an operating loss, but free engines and yens from Toyota have allowed the team to re-sign both Nico Rosberg and Kazuki Nakajima for the 2009 season. On the other hand, Toro Rosso reported a profit of $720,000. I wonder how much of that money includes winning from the Italian Grand Prix.
Exactly.
Now we come to Arabian Nights. Following the success of racing under the stars in Singapore, the powers that be in Abu Dhabi are looking to stage the season finale next season in the comfort of an Arabian night. And now, just a personal opinion, here's an opportunity for Nigel Stepney to embark on a new career. He could get the leading role in trackside theater performance of Stepney, Baba, and Ferrari Thieves. 40 texts and 40 emails.
Keep up the good work, Nass. Sheer poetry. And now for my favorite segment, What's in Your iPod?
Brought to you by Capital One. Seasons come, seasons go. Non-performing drivers start to feel the heat around this time of year.
After success in British F3 and GP2, carrying a big name and an even bigger attitude, Nelsino Piquet Jr., call me that when I'm in a good mood, arrived in Formula One as teammate to Fernando Alonso in the ING Renault team. Flavio's latest investment is in serious need of a bailout, and in the business of motor racing, bailout is performed in the cockpit, not in the Congress. And this is where the problem is for Nelsino. He is the only driver so far this season who has not out-qualified his teammate at all. That's a big bummer for Nelsino, because really, if he loses his seat, he has really nowhere to go.
And he will never get back to Formula One.
That's a sad state of affairs.
But Clark Rogers' RMI5 operatives went to Malaysia and then sneaked into Singapore. And while Peter Windsor was having a word with Nelsino, our agents tapped into his iPod and discovered who is helping him face the reality of racing. Thank you, David Tapia. Thank you, Chris Rhea.
My world is miles of endless road that leaves a trail of growth.
And now Nasser is trying to make a few extra dollars on the side by trying to be the Keats of Karachi. So here's a little bit a little poetry in podcasting. Amid rumors that Muy Macho Hombre last year threatened Ron Dennis with a tell-all to the FIA if he did not slow down Lewis, and I must stress we have no concrete evidence that this was indeed the case, and I have composed a few lines to remember the Budapest bitching and moaning. Here we go. To be number one, prove it on the track. Don't stab me in the back. Muy Macho Hombre de tantrum. Next season, you will not be welcome. Okay, Nasser, we're going to have to retract a couple of zeros for that.
And how about don't give up your day job?
Yeah, the outstanding poetry, Nasser, but we'll just stick with Motorsports Mondial for now. Thank you very much, an outstanding Motorsports Mondial. And now I have the supplemental from Jay Streets, one of our listeners, and he gives us the update after every race in the World Rally Championship. So here we go. After a short break, the WRC is back in action with two back-to-back tarmac events, Catalonia and Corsica. The Rally de España is the closest thing rally gets to circuit racing. The cars are set low and hard. The fast-flowing, double-wide, smooth asphalt makes this the fastest event on the WRC calendar. With only four events left and both the drivers' and manufacturers' championships still too close to call, Ford and Citroën have a lot on the line. After the last two disastrous events by Latvala, Ford has demoted their number two man back to Stobart Ford B Team. He had driven for Stobart last year but was brought up to the full works ride to fill the slot vacated by the retirement of former world champion Marcus Granholm. Team boss Malcolm Wilson commented that after Latvala had won the Swedish rally, the pressure of running at the top had been overwhelming for the 23-year-old. Tarmac specialist and former Citroën driver François Duval had been hired by Ford to drive these two tarmac events and then switch places with Latvala for the final two gravel rounds. The WRC events are run on three distinctly different services, snow, gravel, and tarmac. The bulk of the drivers come from a gravel background and often struggle on the sealed surface events. Ford has spent a lot of time with the drivers trying to bring them up to speed on the asphalt. Unlike Ford, Citroën's drivers are first and foremost tarmac specialists. Both Danny and Sebastian were originally brought on to run sealed surface, and both have proven their ability on the loose stuff as well. Sebastian has won the last three outings in Catalonia, and can he make it four in a row? Day one, with road position not the factor, it is on gravel. Hopefully we can see an event that with be static-free. The first day went as planned for Citroën. Sebastian opened up a large lead for the rest of the pack, with teammate Danny Sordo running in second place, 27 seconds down on Sebastian, but still 30 seconds in front of the Fords that were leading Duval. The rest of the pack were considerably farther back, led by Subaru's Peter Solberg, an additional 2 minutes down on Hirvonen. Ford boss Malcolm Wilson was accepting the Ford's position of third and fourth, but expressed serious concern of the gap that the Citroëns had managed to open up on the first day. Day two, the morning stages were a mirror of day one, with Sebastian winning every stage and Danny Sordo taking second position. The order remained the same. The only thing that changed is the gap kept getting bigger. The afternoon stages saw the Citroëns dial it back, and Duval, the first Ford to set a fastest stage time, followed by Hirvonen setting fast time on the next stage. At service, Loeb was asked if he was disappointed not to have set all the fastest times. He laughingly responded that it was terrible. There is no doubt who is in control of this event. At the end of the day, Loeb over Sordo by 24 seconds, followed by Duval a minute down and Hirvonen 20 seconds back of that position. Like the day before, Solberg led the rest of the pack 2 minutes farther back. Day three, now we see team orders back With Ford all but giving up on the Manufacturers' Championship, they are all hanging their hopes for a driver's title. Ford has Duval yield position to Hirvonen, securing him an additional driver's point. Sort of like a Rubinho Schumacher thing. The rest of the day goes like clockwork for Citroën. Sebastian bringing home the win, making it four straight in España, and the third 1-2 this year. Ford settles for second best in third and fourth, with Peter Solberg bringing the Subaru home in fifth. Asked about his third place finish, Ford's Hirvonen said that he felt ashamed to be standing on the podium, but went on to praise Duval for being a team player. Citroën's strong finish put Sebastian Loeb 12 points up in the Drivers' Championship, and Citroën now 27 points over Ford in the manufacturer's standings. Rumors around the service park put Valentino Rossi back in a rally car for the final event, Rally of Great Britain. F1 and WRC will both be running next week. The only thing that will take my focus off the action in Corsica is watching Fernando Alonso go 2-for-2 in Japan. See you on stage, Mr. Jay Streets. Thank you, Jay. Keep up the good work. Another outstanding WRC update. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the wrap-up. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com, and now the wrap-up. So we go right to Steve Faub, the co-host, with the open mind, and of course the forum updates.
Did I have a closed mind before or something? Our weekly snippets from the F1Weekly forum from our friend Yay. Amongst the great discussion threads that are really active now is one about the Canadian GP, or the lack of it. I've never seen a thread move so fast. CFD Racer asked, Ferrari, WTH is so wrong with a lollipop.
You could say what the hell.
Yeah, I was just figuring. Reading is written. Cat Flap is wondering what the 09 cars will look like. Nasser has asked us all to tell about how we became interested in Formula One. Go to when did you start watching F1? Thread and let us know. Jan posted some pictures of his visit to the WEEA at Reims, France. It looked wet. The ITV online feeds thread is constantly being updated by Koala and GR. Keep up the great work, guys. H Bright Music took the Singapore win in the predictions competition. Sihee Sin, Apex Light, and Iceman are all chasing Ye's lead.
H Bright predicted that Fernando would win?
Maybe. Who came in second? Would he have picked?
Nico Rosberg.
Yeah. Must have been drawing names out of a hat.
I like it.
And then we said happy birthday to G Doubler, Duckbite, and Darwin BC, as well as Exorpheus. There is a general plea to those who want to join the Bat Racer game. Perhaps some of the new members should try their hand. Visit the Bat Racer thread and leave a post if you would like to give it a go. Want to give a shout out to the new posters from September: Eric 4OK, Louis Manuel MM, Quinks, John's. Sorry if I'm
you're butchering these people's lives.
Exactly. PW John 1, welcome all. Finally, a reminder that some forum members get together during quali and races to chat up on Skype text. Come join us. That's all for now. Everybody keep posting. And we heard a rumor that the first 20 minutes of the podcast 300 video cast has been posted on YouTube.
Also known as the Phantom videocast. Finally showed up.
I was able to watch at work a little bit, but I cannot crank up the volume. But I saw,
saw moi?
Yeah, moi. And I just saw you, and I didn't see anybody else.
Dave was across the top.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
That was the idea. Excellent. I'm glad that's up. I also want to thank all the new members on the forums. It's been some outstanding activity because the intellectual exchange on that forum is just wonderful.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope it stays that way because, you know, many, many years ago when the Internet first started, I was, in those days, I think it was Speed Vision, and it's just, you know, pretty soon it just gets into, you know, F this, F that, yeah, and personal attacks. So we hope this thing stays to the business of motor racing. And yeah, feel free to express your opinion, you know.
Absolutely. And beans.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about beans.
Yeah.
Real quickly, I want to plug our friends up in San Francisco, the San Francisco Formula One Group at www.sff1.com. They'll be meeting this Saturday, October 11th. 9 p.m. pre-race. The flag drops at 9:30 p.m. over at the Overtime Sports Bar and Grill, 398 7th at Harrison. And you can call them up and check what's on the menu for that particular evening dinner. And that's 415-863-1688 in beautiful downtown San Francisco. I also want to mention that we'll be working closely, especially in 2009, with the Northern California Rotax Karting Series that's over here at Sears Raceway, and we'll have more information for our listeners about that. It's going to be exciting and machismo. Also, we're going to go ahead and get Nasser to give us an update on the 2009 Calendrier Formidable, and of course, how are the Can-Am DVDs? Do we have any left? Because the demand is beginning to pick up as the holidays approach.
We certainly hope so. The calendar update is they are being printed as we speak in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, and they should be done next week. And then it takes, I think, 3-day ground delivery time. So we should be ready to ship them out by the 20th of this month. So that should be very exciting.
Not too far. Get your pre-orders in now.
Yeah, well, but all these people who have requested and paid for and or not paid for, we'll get that auto shipped right away.
Yeah, I mean, we have technical things we have to do to get it on the merchandise page,
sure,
and everything. So if you want to get your order in now, it's Nasser at F1Weekly.com.
Or even Clark or Steve. Or hello, listeners, Desiree.
Exactly.
I hope her email account is still working.
It's working, but I don't know that you want
if she's checking, yeah.
Well, I think she's serving for our country in the Falkland Islands, isn't she?
Oh, really?
She could be working with...
she thought Fallujah was in Falkland Islands?
Something like that.
Great.
I know Desiree and TD have crossed paths somewhere in the global world.
Yeah.
Somewhere near Carmen, San Diego?
Exactly. Correct. Thank you, Stephen. And now the Can-Am.
The Can-Am DVD, attention, Mr. Madman Motors, he had requested us to keep one for him.
Of course.
So if he wants special avoid shipping and handling, we can offer free delivery through Clark Rogers, who lives in the hood.
Exactly. And, of course, Madman Motors is one of our neighbors here in Northern California. So, of course, no shipping necessary there. We'll just take it to his home and expect maybe a complimentary meal or something.
Okay. Wife must be out of town.
Or at least a cold one.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, real quickly, I want to mention our Facebook site.
Oh, we have a Facebook site.
Yes. You can visit us at facebook.com/F1Weekly. Check us out and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. Any last words, Nasser?
If with your express written consent, and this affect, you know, I mean, it's our brethren. You know, I was listening to F1 Rejects, our friend down in Australia.
Another podcast?
Yeah, but check this out. They said that their website was hacked into and taken down. So I'm very sorry to hear that, and they're trying to bring it back, and I hope they do, because they do a very good job, and, you know, it's not cool to bring down somebody.
Yeah, they're our friends. They are like familia down under, and that's just shameful.
Yeah.
Luckily, in America, we don't have hackers.
Really?
Yeah. That's what that's what I was told by the current administration, that we're safer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that you are.
Okay, thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.